Good morning, everyone. It's good to be together and worship the Lord. What a good day to be together. What a good day. Beautiful day. It's warm. The sun is shining. We're celebrating, giving thanks to God for our mothers, and now we get to worship Him too. This is a good day. The Lord arranges these things that we'll be finishing the book of Ruth on Mother's Day. That's just so appropriate and so wonderful. So let us go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will turn to Ruth chapter 4. Let us pray. Oh, great God, we give you thanks for your love for us, your redeeming love. That, Lord, though we are slaves to sin, that you come and you purchase us out of slavery, that we would be free, O Lord God, that you bring us into your family, not because of our own goodness, but because by faith we trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we open your word this morning, would you please reveal yourself to us, that we would know you in your power and beauty and love and care for us, your people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let us turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 4. In so many ways, this is intended to be a real happy ending of the book. It's just such a good ending, showing us who God is and the way he loves us and provides for us. Next week, we will begin the book of Lamentations. I know some of you are saying, well, that's kind of a downer, isn't it? It is in the scriptures, and we need to lament. We are built by God to lament, not to stay there, but to go through. And so we will be spending some time in the book of Lamentations next. Ruth chapter 4. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me, that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." And then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day." Then all the people who were sitting at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. This is God's word. We see the culmination here in this passage of what God has been showing us through the whole book, that there is a redeemer and that the Lord our God redeems us, takes us out of slavery, takes us out of our low estate, brings us into his family in order to care for us, to love us. We also see in this act here how God's hand is at work to prepare for the coming of Jesus. Yes, we see the parentage or the lineage here, and it goes through David, King David, who becomes such a central figure for Israel and also becomes an archetype in many ways and a physical, not descendant, precedent, ancestor to Jesus himself. There is a redeemer. In this passage in verses 1 through 8, we see that there is another relative who's closer to Naomi than Boaz is. And so Boaz is going to ask him if he would like to be the redeemer. Boaz goes to the gate of the city. This is where so much of the life of the nation would be conducted. Business is conducted here. The poor would wait here to try to get help. This is where strangers would come in. This is where kind of the ruling body is, like the, in some ways, the town hall and the business center of the village. And so Boaz goes there because he has business to conduct. He sees the man and he says, "Come, turn around. Come aside, sit down here." I just love a strange detail that strikes me. How many of you, as you're going about your day and someone says, "Hey, just come and sit down here," go, "Sure, I got nothing else to do. No problem. I got plenty of time to just sit around. And we'll call over 10 other of the city leaders. Sure, I'll just come and sit around for an hour or two." I just love that. I don't know. There's something about the pace of life, I have to imagine, that was just very different. That there was margins in everyone's life. That this was the business of the day, as opposed to whatever it is we are rushing to and fro to do every single day. So he has, and he comes aside, and he gathers the elders, and so this would be to validate any business that was conducted. They were witnesses to it. Instead of signing documents, the legal transaction would be that you'd have witnesses. This was part of the role of the elders, of the leaders of the community, to be witnesses. And so they're all gathered there. Boaz informs this closer relative that Naomi's land needs to be redeemed. So it was Elimelech's land because the ownership of the land was held by men. It happens later on in Israel's history that widows, even childless widows, are able to inherit land. But in this point, they're not legally allowed to. And this was the whole idea of Levirate marriage, of redeeming, is so that the name of Elimelech and the land that was allotted to him by God would stay there, would stay in the family. Right? We looked at that last week, and I think even before that also, that the land didn't really belong to the people. It belonged to God. And God gave them the land by clan and by tribe, by clan, by family. Right? He assigned everyone. Assigned the borders. You read that throughout in the Pentateuch, you know, all these different borders that God gave to the individual, even families. And that if you had to sell your land for any reason, remember after 50 years, every 50 years, the year of Jubilee, it reverted back to you. You couldn't permanently transfer land. And God goes through and we see he gets very detailed lists of genealogies because the names of people were important to remember and carry on. The heritage was very important. And so Boaz offers on behalf of Naomi, he says that there's land to be redeemed. And this person says, I will do that. That would be great. I have the means. I will buy back that land and I will redeem it. And Boaz tells him the second part of the redemption, that it's not just land, but also not just redeeming of the land, but they need to redeem in the Levirate marriage way we talked about last week, Ruth. And that the responsibility of the kinsman redeemer would be to bear children in this Levirate marriage and have the inheritance then go not to yourself, but to Elimelech and to his offspring. And then further children would be yours. I know it seems a very strange custom to us, but this was how God not only kept the land associated with families, not only kept the name of families together, but also provided for widows who didn't have any other means of being cared for. Well, this man says, no, I don't want to redeem Ruth. I don't want to take her to be my wife. And he gives the reason as he will impair his own inheritance. So it's not clear exactly what's going on here. There doesn't appear to be a whole lot of shame in it here, though the part with the sandal originally was intended to be some shame associated with it. But it doesn't seem, and the words, there's no explicit sign here, that this other relative in some way was being shameful and you know, not doing what was right. It seems probably to me, based on the idea of not impairing his inheritance, he was probably already married. He's probably married and had children, and to then, which would have been legally possible, to have a second wife, that the inheritance would just make things really messy, which I think is a really wise move. So he says, no, thank you. You can redeem her. And then we see that Boaz does redeem Ruth. Steve, are you considering a second wife? Is that why? Yeah. No. Sorry. Then in verses 9 and 10, we see that Boaz does redeem Ruth. And so they have the exchanging of the sandal, which is just, in this case here, it's just a customary way of saying, I'm not going to redeem, you are going to redeem. It's in the presence of all the elders. And then it says, Boaz said in verse 9 to all the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belongs to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. Now, I know we can all look and speak of custom and the way things were back then, and but I just want to acknowledge I hate this verse. The language literally says that Boaz bought Ruth. Now, I'm not saying I hate the Lord's word. I don't mean that. Just because something's in God's word doesn't mean God approves of it. He's just telling it like it is. Okay? And I know we do a lot of efforts to try to say that, some of the things of God's rules were not patriarchal. They were not misogynistic. And I don't believe God is. I believe actually that examples like this and the lineages that we see are so counter to the sinful culture that developed that we see God's is incredibly pro-women. But I just have to acknowledge that this is happening and this is going on here. We just can't perpetuate thoughts of inequality within marriage and within society here. So I do think we need to look at is how God in the events of Ruth's life are really showing a remarkable woman and his love and care for women. Remember, it was Ruth who proposed to Boaz. But she still lives in this fallen world, this sinful world. We're so thankful that we see this story here, these events here, that Boaz truly loves Ruth. And he has such good intentions and desires to care for her because of why? Remember, why? Not because she was beautiful, though she may have been, but because of her faith, the faith that she had put in God by saying that your God will be my God and your people will be my people, and stayed with Naomi no matter what. So he takes Ruth to be his wife, redeems her and the land, and he gives witness to this, and all the people give witness. And so it is, it's a done deal. God is showing and putting into action that he's caring for Ruth and Naomi. Remember when Naomi came back from Moab, right? She said, no longer call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Instead, call me Mara, which means bitter. Not because she was bitter. She said, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. She was just being honest with the people and with God at what her life was like. Wasn't cursing God. But now we see that wasn't the end of the story. In the middle of all that sorrow and sadness, that sense of life is going to be awful from now on, we see that God is still caring and is still providing for those whom there's no other way for them to be provided for. And it was because, the text lays out, because of Ruth's faith that she ends up being taken care of. Well, then in verses 11 and 12, we see the blessing of the elders. And it's an interesting blessing to me. They say, we are witnesses. Now, here's the blessing. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. So that's part of the blessing. They say that may your family be great. This coming together of Ruth and Boaz, may your unit, the family unit that you are building here today, may it be wonderful. May it just bless the nation like Rachel and Leah, who really established the 12 tribes, right, with their sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. So we want you to have a great family that will impact and bless the whole nation. Then they say, may you act worthily and may you be renowned in Ephrathah and Bethlehem, the area where they are. So will you be honorable? We pray, we're invoking God's name, that you will be honorable, and that it will go well with you, that you will be blessed here as a family. And then he says, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman. And so they're asking that the family line would continue on, and then it would be great. Well, this will lead right into the end of the book, end of the chapter here, where we do see God is laying out what happens with the descendants of Boaz and Ruth. And that's a huge part of this story, of these events here, is the offspring and how it leads to David and then to Jesus. But I find it an interesting example that they're holding up here. So I think the reason they call out Tamar and Judah is because this was a Levirate marriage situation. This was kind of the other example, real life example we have in the scriptures of a Levirate marriage. And so I think that's probably why. And God used these two people and their name and their offspring to bring about this. Will, you know, there's Boaz's relatives, and there will be David's relatives, and they will be Jesus's relatives. But again, we've got to acknowledge this is not a good situation. This is not good. So Tamar was married to Judah's son, and he died, and she was fatherless. And then he told his other son, Onan, go and marry her. And he did, but he refused to have children with her. And so he acted dishonorably. And so then Judah was responsible to provide another son, or to enforce that his son really would have offspring, so that his son's name would continue on, that Judah's name would continue on. But he didn't do that either. He acted dishonorably. And so Tamar had to trick Judah, her father-in-law, into bearing children, a child for her. It's so much sin wrapped up in these events. And yet the Lord worked through them. And I think that's the key here, is that even though there's all these horrible things going on in these examples, we see that in the midst of sinful, broken people, God is still with us. God is still at work, and God is still providing. He's not condoning. He's providing, and he's working to heal what comes out of brokenness and sinfulness. And I'm sure glad for that, because in my own life, there is much damage from my brokenness and my sinfulness. And I need the Lord to continue to be at work in my life and those around me, and continue to heal the brokenness and the consequences and the effects of my sin. Praise God, we have a Lord who works in these ways. Well, then we go on in the end of the book. We see that there are children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and on and on and on. Verses 13 through 22, we see that Ruth and Boaz become husband and wife, that they have a child named Obed, and then Jesse, and then David. And we see that God has provided for Ruth and Naomi. It's interesting, the book kind of ends with Naomi. It started with Naomi, and now it's ending with Naomi. What looked like God had left her, but he hasn't. He has come, and he has provided for her, and he has cared for her, and he has blessed her. And he's done it through a redeemer. He's provided, protected, and blessed her through a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer in Boaz. And not only does this line produce Jesus, but it also acts as a picture of who God is to us. That he is our redeemer. That he is about the work of redeeming us out of our slavery to sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid our debt for our sin. And in doing so, he purchased us out of that slavery to set us free, to set us into his family, adopting us, bringing us into his family, not by birth, not by being wicked good, but by faith in what Jesus did. We're not brought into the family of God because of what we do. We're brought in because of faith in what Jesus has done on the cross, dying for us. Jesus is our Redeemer. Let us rejoice in him and trust in him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus, that he is our kinsman redeemer. Thank you, Lord, for how you protected and cared for Ruth and Naomi, how these two women went through such suffering and difficulties, and you provided for them. Thank you for your redeeming ways, O Lord God, that you do not leave us in our low estate, in our sinful estate, but that you redeem us. May we worship you as our Redeemer and rejoice in you for how you have saved us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.